We know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store.
If you're an accounting firm leader who wants clarity, a smarter strategy, a better way of doing things, and data that actually moves your firm forward, you're in the right place. Today, we are decoding the IPA Practice Management Survey. This is the roadmap behind the rankings, behind the insights, and behind the stories shaping the accounting profession.
And welcome back to the Inside Public Accounting Podcast, the podcast where we take you behind the metrics, trends, and data shaping the profession. I'm Chelsea Summers, Executive Director of IPA.
And I'm Rob Brown. And today we're getting practical because we're walking you through one of the most valuable tools available to firm leaders, the IPA Practice Management Survey. And Chelsea, this is the survey that powers a lot of what IPA publishes, the rankings, the reports, the benchmarks, the IPA 500. Today we're giving listeners a full guide, what the survey is, why it matters, how to participate, and what to actually do with the data once you have it.
Exactly. If you're a firm leader who wants clarity, comparison, or a roadmap for improvement, this episode is a great starting point.
So let's start at the top. What is the IPA Practice Management Survey?
Yeah, so the survey is the backbone of IPA's benchmarking platform. It's one of the most comprehensive collections of firm performance data across the profession. We cover financials, operations, talent metrics, partner models, technology investments, compensation, and more. And it's been running for almost 40 years. It's the reason that IPA is trusted for objective long-term insights.
And what I love about this, Chelsea, it's a recalibration, it's a benchmarking, it's that look over the garden wall. Because if firms want to understand where they stand and not just where the profession is heading, but a lot more, this is the data source. So let's talk logistics. How does a firm actually participate in this survey?
Yeah. So firms who want to participate in the survey will request the survey form from IPA, and they will then receive a secure link to create their account on our reporting platform. They can complete it online or download an Excel template that they can work in. Most firms will typically start by pulling last year's submissions, so they're not starting from scratch.
Yeah. And can any size firm participate?
Yeah, whether you're a $5 million firm or a top 25 firm generating billions, last year we had over 600 firms submit data to the survey of various sizes.
And I think a lot of listeners are going to be surprised by this part because the cost of participating in this is
$0. There is no cost to submit your survey.
No charge.
No charge. Firms will only pay if they choose to purchase benchmarking reports or deeper analysis after participation.
Well, let's talk about those reports in a bit. I want to get into the value of this. Why should firms invest the time? Because the survey is quite extensive.
It is. And there are four big benefits to participating in the survey. Benchmarking clarity. Firms are going to get a detailed view of how they compare to peers of similar sizes and all the firms. They're also going to get data-driven decision-making. So leaders use this to set strategy, compensation structures, pricing, and staffing models. Third, they're going to get year-over-year tracking, where you can see your own trajectory across margins, revenue streams, talent metrics, and operational efficiencies, especially as you participate in multiple years. And then they're going to receive eligibility for our rankings. If you want to appear on the IPA 500 or be considered for our best of the best firms, you have to complete the survey.
That is prestige right there. And that benchmarking is huge because the profession is changing so fast, Chelsea. Intuition isn't enough. Having an idea isn't enough. You've got to get the data and see how you stack up.
Exactly. Leaders tell me all the time that they think they know where their firm stands, and then the benchmarking might show a different picture. It's clarifying. Sometimes it's reassuring. Sometimes it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but it's always useful.
And I guess for the first time as Chelsea, completing the survey for the first time can feel intimidating, but you've seen thousands of submissions. So give us an inkling on what separates the firms that do this well.
Yeah. So a few things that I would suggest to firms who are participating for the first time. Start early. Don't wait until right before the deadline. Deadlines are between May and June. Don't wait till May to start. There's a lot you can do early. Assign an owner. Make sure that there's one point person who's managing the entire process. Also, loop in your finance and HR teams. They often hold some of the data needed to complete the survey. Make sure you're staying consistent. Use the same definitions year after year so your trend lines are meaningful. And then make sure you review before submitting. Look for any anomalies or missing data. I can't tell you how many times I've received a survey where somebody has clearly mistyped something and I have to go back and ask an uncomfortable question like, did you really make $30 last year? Oh, no, that's not right. That's what I thought. So the firms that treat this as part of their annual planning routine tend to get the most value out of it.
I like that. And I can see the benefits then of completing this year on year because they're treating it as an internal performance review. It's not just a tech box or checkbox. It's what happens after a firm submits their data that I'm interested in now, though. What happens then?
So once a firm completes their survey, my team and I do thorough reviews of the data. We look for those $30 numbers. We look for inconsistencies that from previous year's submissions, if they've submitted, or anything that just seems unusual based on what we know of the data. Sometimes firms might use internal definitions that differ from the ones in our survey. So part of our job is really standardizing the data set. We want to make sure that every firm is being measured using the same definitions and the same baseline.
This is where you do your magic, Chelsea. It's amazing how you crunch those numbers and turn it into meaningful data and narratives. But let's talk about the rankings for a moment. This is where your survey becomes very visible. What role does the survey play in the IPA 500?
So the survey is everything. The IPA 500, which ranks the largest firms in the United States based on net revenue, is entirely powered by the data collected in the survey. Without participation in the survey, you can't be included on our rankings.
And it's not just the largest firms. You really highlight the best and the up and coming, and there's lots of different ways that you play that out. It's definitely becoming one of the most watched, anticipated benchmarks in the whole accounting profession.
Yeah, thanks. The list publishes in August every year and is certainly one of the most anticipated rankings in the accounting profession.
And my favorite bit is the best of the best. That's the list that everybody wants to land on because that's the creme de la creme, as we say here in Europe.
Yeah, so the best of the best identifies high-performing firms across about 50 metrics that are not just revenue. These firms are exceptional in profitability, growth, productivity, partner metrics, operational stability, and the participation inside the survey is how we identify those best of the best firms.
And so if you want some external validation, calibration that your firm is truly top tier or best in class, this is where the recognition comes from. This is official. And once the survey is complete, firms have access to an entire ecosystem of reports, Chelsea, don't they? Walk us through those.
Yeah, so three main categories of reports. The IPA Practice Management Report. This is our flagship report that has the rankings, trends, commentary, and deep analysis across the profession. We also have internal operational reports. In addition to the Practice Management Survey, firms have the option to participate in surveys around firm administration, human resources, and information technology. Reports for those surveys are available as well to dig deeper into those metrics. And we also do customized firm reports. So tailored benchmarking that will compare your firm to selected peers and to the broader profession. So these reports in aggregate are used in partner retreats, strategic planning, and in M&A due diligence.
I can see it's essential reading in the libraries of the boardrooms of most firms. It's got to be. Chelsea, there's a lot spoken about technology in the accounting profession. To what degree does your IT survey, for example, cover AI, which is such a big disruptor?
Yeah, this year we've expanded our question set to really dig into AI because it's becoming such a defining part of firm strategy. We're looking at where firms are in their AI journey, what kind of investments they're making, whether those investments are paying off yet, and what AI training and adoption looks like on the ground inside these firms. We really want a clearer picture of not just who has AI tools, but who is actually using them in a meaningful way and how that's starting to change the way those firms are operating.
And I'm intrigued by what firms actually do with the data. That's the most important part of today's episode for me. Once they've got this data, do you hear stories? Do you talk to them? What happens next?
Yeah, firms invest a lot of time and resources into submitting the survey. So we want to make sure they're getting the most out of it once they participate. So here's a couple ways that the firms are using it. Strategic planning. They're identifying their strengths, their weaknesses, and their opportunities based on the data. They're looking at operational goals. They're setting targets for realization, leverage, turnover, margins, or pricing using the data. They're looking at talent strategies. They're understanding their own staffing ratios, pipeline issues, and their compensation competitive. That's a big one. They use it for partner discussions. It's a neutral data source to facilitate some tough conversations. And then board reporting. Many managing partners present the IPA data to their executive committees. The goal isn't really to win the benchmarks. It's to use them as a mirror, a clear, honest, data-driven mirror.
I love that. And there's so much introspection in firms. You just get so narrow focused, proximity bias. You get so close to what you're doing yourself. This just gives massive perspective on what's happening out there. In the last episode, Chelsea, we talked about talent retention and having a sense of what other firms are doing and what's working for them. That's really good practice. So that mirror you're talking about, that data-driven mirror, that's such a great way of putting it. It's becoming more important as the profession evolves. And we've talked about this in past episodes. Firm today, talent shortages they're grappling with, technology disruption, changing partner paths, business models, private equity. It's all going on for them. If firms want to participate this year and they really want to get involved in this, what's the best next step?
Yeah, so they can either visit the IPA website or send me an email. We'll get you set up with everything that you need. And remember, participation is free. The data that's submitted to us is held in confidence, and the insights are invaluable that you're going to get from the data.
It's such a great investment of time and money to get involved in this. It's perfect. And for you listeners, this episode pairs really well with our earlier breakdown of the IPA 500 and the report releases. So make sure you subscribe there so you don't miss those deep dives.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to follow the show. We'll see you next Tuesday for another look inside the accounting profession.